not held a mic to preach in over a year now.
Yeah, practically, we are going back soon. So.
Feels so strange. Amen. God is good all the time.
All the time.
Amen, Brother Ephraim. Thank you. I just want us to reflect over the events of the past few weeks, over the past month as a church. And because sometimes it will be a disservice for us to think that, yes, all is well with everybody and we just go on. Sometimes we have to take a pause as a family, and ask ourselves some questions and talk to one another. A few weeks ago, I know we buried our sister Yomi. And last month was quite a heavy one for many of us. It was quite one of those times in our lives where, we have more questions than answers. The same week that we buried our sister Yomi, I attended the funeral of a friend who himself was a pastor in one of the churches here in Maryland. He had COVID or came down with COVID last year, went into a coma for over a year and a half. In the coma, he had a cardiac arrest, eventually died. So I attended his own funeral on Tuesday, attended Yomi's funeral on Saturday. In the same period, we remembered our sister Banke, our sister Wande. Few days after that, they called that Sister Wande's father had passed. And we prayed. And this is not the first time we've had somebody that, we as a church, we prayed and prayed and prayed. Yet it did not turn out the way we expected. I think it was yesterday or a few days ago when we were praying, somebody, I think it was Sister Wura, or somebody said that sometimes this cross we carry is too heavy a burden, it's too heavy to carry. And it's true. Sometimes in our lives as Christians, when we seek the Lord, we pray, we have faith. Yet these things that we pray about, they do not happen the way we expect them to happen. Then there comes the question, does God hear our cry? And I am sure we would not be the first people to ask such questions in Christianity. Some of our brethren in the north, Brother Ephraim, he's been instrumental in the fellowship we've been helping and partnering to set up in Mubi, in Yola, in Adamawa. And many times when I think about those brothers, some of the things that I think about is, we pray for these brethren that we pray with, we talk with. It could happen that one day we'll hear that one of them is no more. Boko Haram has taken. That is the reality that we face. And so when we ask ourselves these questions, many times there are no clear-cut answers. There are no 1 + 1 = 2 answers, which is what many of us look for in life. And so many people, they turn to the pastors and they ask, Pastor, why now? What's happening? Some pastors will say that, yes, God says yes, God says no, God says maybe wait. But there is another answer that God has been teaching me. And that answer is that sometimes there is no answer. Because God is a mystery, we cannot always predict that this is the way He will do it this is the way he will answer. And for many, that is the most difficult part of being a Christian or following Christ. And I said, you know, I want this to be a heart-to-heart talk. You know, I'm just, things have been going through my heart. I'm sharing with you. Many years ago, I had a friend who I worked with who said he's an atheist. And when we peeled back the layers of his life, I found out that there were some prayers he prayed as a young man which were not answered. And he said that there's no God, and that was it for him. And for some Christians, it is the same way. And when we do not ask ourselves or talk to ourselves this way, you know, we think all is well. There are some people, even Christians, when things like this happen, when we, and this is not the first time, when we prayed, yet it doesn't go the way we expect it to go. And we struggle with our faith. Does God hear? Is God really there? Does he love us? Does he truly answer prayers? What if I did not pray? We could still have come to the same conclusion. And these are pertinent questions. Very, very difficult questions, which they're not questions we gloss over. But there are questions we deal with as best as we can. And like I said, 1 + 1 does not always equal 2. In the Bible, we have examples of people who dealt with the same thing. Abraham, God gave him a promise. He waited and waited and waited, you know. He thought that, well, maybe God has forgotten. He tried another way to fulfill what God had told him. But eventually, God came through. For him, he still got an answer at the very end. But he waited 25 years. Joseph. His father loved him. Things happened in his life. He found himself in another country, despised by his own brothers, bereft of his own family, seeking God. Happenstance, some people of importance came into the prison where he was. He begged them, please don't forget me. And they forgot. He waited and waited. I think his own was how many? 17 years or so. But he saw answer at the very end. Something happened, but he waited long. You know, Job. He was a man who, his own was even, you know, what do they call that? Anti-malaria that you drink before something happens. His own prayer was a prophylaxis prayer. You know, he prayed and sacrificed so that something would not happen to his children. Yet in one day, his whole family was wiped out. Well, not the whole family. His wife was still around. But he was praying prophylaxis prayer. But after suffering, at least he still got answer at the very end because God restored him double for his trouble. But we think about people like John the Baptist, you know, and these are real things, my brothers and sisters. Who was a cousin of the Lord Jesus Christ? He was imprisoned, thinking his cousin will come. You know, this is the cousin they had been waiting for. He was the forerunner. He was the one who came to say, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. He was the one who said, the sandals of his feet are not worthy to lose. And he saw him. And he knew the power that was in this cousin of his. Yet, this cousin of his did not come. Because the father of that cousin did not say, go to John and release him from prison by your power. John, being The man of faith that John is, he came to terms with it and had to go send his own servant, please. Go and ask my cousin, are you the one that, or did I make a mistake? Or are you really the one? And eventually, John's head was taken off his body. You know, he didn't get an answer like Abraham and Job did. In the Acts of Apostles, we read of people like James Zebedee. James Zebedee, who was the brother of John Zebedee. Herod killed him by the sword. True Christians. Stephen, a man filled with the Spirit of God, who did miracles, did wonders, stoned to death in the prime of his life. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself, asking his Father, if there's any other way that this thing can be accomplished, let it be. But not my will, but your will be done. And so when we come to places like this, when we have prayed and things don't happen the way we expect, you know, truly down in our hearts, we struggle with faith. Because when we were born again, you know those phrases in the Bible, faith is of substance of things hoped for. If you have enough faith, it will be done. When we believe God for things, like when we read in Mark, that when you ask in prayer, believe and you will receive it. And we read all these scriptures. And the reality is that those scriptures are true. Those scriptures are true. Because if in any equation in Christianity, we have to start with something. If things don't happen the way we want it to happen, the fault or the problem is not with God. It might be with our understanding. There was a transaction that God made with us when we came to him, when we got born again. And that transaction was that you will not go to an eternity without me. You will not die in your sin. You will not go to a hell, which is meant for people who do not believe in Christ as their Savior. Because I will purchase you with my blood, with the blood of my Son. And you will become mine. So that you are no longer your own property. You are now God's property. And the God who did that transaction with us is not a God where we always say 1 + 1 = 2. And so many people, when they come to the place of that transaction, because of what they have been taught, that 1 + 1 = have faith, it will be done. Have faith, it will happen. Pray, God will answer. Then they come to those places where this mysterious God, who doesn't do everything always according to how we ask him, and we come to those places in life where it does not happen the way we expect, and it becomes a difficulty. And like I said, you know, sometimes there are no answers because God is a mystery. Why wouldn't God ask Jesus to go and save John the Baptist? I don't know. After Herod took James, he took Peter. And all the people around them, they began to pray for Peter. And so that you will know that 1 + 1 doesn't always equal 2. I don't believe that they thought that Peter would survive it. Because after Peter survived it and he came to the house and he knocked the door, the first person that saw Peter, what did they do? They opened because they thought this was a ghost. They thought the natural cause would have taken it, or the natural cause of life. He would have been killed. So they didn't first believe that this could be Peter. And these are the same brothers and sisters who have lived the same faith that we have now come to. Sister Shade Adeleke, please help me read of the heroes of the faith from Hebrews 11. You can start from verse 32 to the end of Hebrews 11.
From verse what?
11:32 of the book of Hebrews.
And what more shall I say? For time will fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had promised something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect.
Amen. 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 So when we come to these crossroads of faith, where sometimes we don't have clarity as to why do these things happen? You know, our brothers and sisters have gone early. You know, there's that scripture that says that we would live till 70, peradventure by strength we would live to 80. But those things, they are true, but they are not the whole truth. What Sister Shade read here is the key. In this world, because this is not the end, I pray God will help me to explain what I'm trying to say. God has put us on earth for a purpose. And that purpose is not to suffer for the whole of our lives and then to die. No. God is a father who, when we hurt, he also feels our pain. But there are times, because of the nature of a fallen world in which we live, that even Christians will partake of the sufferings that Jesus Christ himself partook of. That is why we are taught that when we have come to know him, we've come to also know the fellowship of his suffering, which is a thing that is not taught many times today for us as Christians. Because there will be times, overall, brothers and sisters, overall, God answers prayers. I know, because I can testify my life. I know that God has answered many prayers. But there are those times when God in his mysterious nature would not answer the way we expect him to, the way we pray it should happen. That a brother or sister that is sick will recover, a brother or sister that the doctors have given up on, God will do a miracle. It doesn't always happen that way. And it is not that we don't have faith. It is not that God hasn't heard our prayer. Some will say, maybe God is angry with us, like the friends of Job said. Maybe you have sinned, and God, but it's not always that way. Just as God answered Job. God, do you know that when God answered Job, why what was happening to him was happening? God did not, never told him why it happened. All Job could surmise from it is God is God. That's it. Why did I do it? God did not tell him why. All God told him was that I am. The summary of it all. That I am. I will do what I will do. We always have to remember that transaction I said again. Because if we ever forget, we would lay our faith upon something that is taught or people teach that is not the reality of who God is. Because what I see a lot out there today is believe God and God will do. Say it and God will do it. Decree it and God will do it. And God, being a mystery, for the most part does it. But there are times he's reserved some things that we would never understand the why. In the scriptures, we also know that we see in parts, we know in parts. But one day, all those things that we do not understand, we might be brought into the full clarity of what it is. It is possible that those who have gone, they have now seen the reason. And all they can say is, God, I worship you. I did not understand, but I worship you. My prayer is that just as that man prayed to Christ when he was asking God to heal his child, and Christ said that, do you believe? He said, I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. Because there are times where we come to that place where we struggle, where we struggle. God cares for us as his children. And I want us to know that his heart towards us is a good heart. You know, though we struggle, just as those who went before us, they struggle also. But we always have to know where we start from, that we serve a good God. We will not see the fullness of his goodness in this fallen world. We will not see the fullness of his love for us in this fallen world. But one day, each of us, I believe, will glorify him for every answer. Though we understood the answer or we did not, though our questions were answered or they were not, I believe one day God will cause us to know that his heart towards us is good. In the book of Romans, you know, it buttresses it for me, where Paul wrote that we do not know how to pray or what we ought to pray. But it's the Holy Spirit that helps our infirmity, that is our inability, with his own groanings which cannot be uttered. So God himself prays for us. God sees when we struggle and he prays for us. God sees when our brothers are hurting and he prays for us. May we not give up, because there's a reason why Christ says that, you know, this walk is a walk of perseverance. It's not a walk where everything, you know, when you persevere, it's not because you persevere because some things are hard on the way. So you have to hold on. You know, it is not 1 + 1 = 2. You will put this and this together and you will get the end of the equation. But sometimes you have to persevere. When you don't understand, when you don't see him working, when the prayers are not answered the way we expect them, if we will always believe that God, when I don't see, your heart towards me is good. When I don't hear, your heart towards me is good. When it doesn't turn in my favor, your heart towards me is good. And like Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That is the heart of the God we serve. Last month was really heavy. It was really a difficult one. And the more I live, the older I get, the more I realize that life is not about just living to old age. Life is about purpose. Life is about purpose. And each and every one of us has a purpose for which God has created us. And once we have served our purpose, God will take us to that which he has promised for us. For him, he said it. Verse 39 of Hebrews 11. And these all of these people, you know, these people that were destitute, they were Christians. These people that were tormented and afflicted, they were Christians. These people who were sawn, they were caught by sword, sawn in two, they were Christians. Fed to lions, they were Christians. Killed by Boko Haram, they were Christians. Burned as torches in Rome, on the streets of Rome by Nero, they were Christians. Some were stoned, they were Christians. All of these people, having received witness through faith, received not the promise, because the promise was not on earth. God having provided some better thing for us than they, that they without us should not be made perfect. God is a mysterious God, my brothers and sisters. We will never understand him fully. You know, when I thought about the things that were happening in my native country, Nigeria, how these Fulani people, you know, they're killing people, you know, maiming people, you know, God destroy them. Let the country be rid of them. And then I remembered Paul. how he killed people in the church, how he maimed people in the church. Yet God still calls some to pray for him. God still calls some to open his eyes. And God said that unless we have love for the Fulanis, we will not be able to fulfill the purpose of God for Nigeria. You know, 1 + 1 in this equation is not always equals 2. Because the God we serve is a God of mystery. And we will not always be able to say, if I do this and do this, it will happen this way. For the most part, it will happen. But there are those times of mystery when we do not understand. And the answer is not, I will do it later. The answer is not no. The answer is not maybe. It's just that we don't have an answer. Because he will do what he pleases him to do. Because he's God. We have come. We have been purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are his. We are his. And a servant does not dictate to a master. Especially when that master is a sovereign Lord. There's some things that, how would a puny man, a creation of God, God will say he has inscribed your name upon the palm of his hands. It is love. How would you, a puny creation that sins, God will say, I will forgive and you will dwell with me for all eternity. It is love. And that love is beyond anything that we could face in this world. That's why Paul will say that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. Neither has it come into understanding of men what God has prepared for those who love him. God has prepared something for us beyond this world. That is why he has asked us to labor to enter into his rest. Sometimes that labor would involve the persevering till the very end. It's not always easy. It's not always easy to be a Christian. Because some will start the race. And by these very things we have talked about today, we'll give it up. But I'm encouraging us, my brothers and my sisters, because we will face these times that Christ himself has talked about. Let us count it not strange. Because I believe that some times are coming that would even be more difficult for the world at large than we see. You know, is it COVID that has taken millions of people today? In a dying world, it is not strange. But let us hold on till the very end. Let us hold on till the very end. For there awaits a rest and a salvation for those who persevere till the very end. You know, in my times of craziness, you know, I was thinking, if it were possible, I will take a gun and go to Nigeria and fight those bandits. And you know what God said to my heart? Is Nigeria your kingdom? Or are you fighting for my own kingdom? this God. Are you prepared? You are not prepared to die for my kingdom. You are prepared to die for an earthly kingdom. You know, we are now citizens of his own kingdom, and his kingdom is without an end. His kingdom is without an end. Right now, in this part of his kingdom, we see in part, we don't understand the full thing, but his kingdom continues even after we drop this mortal body. I pray that day, none of us will be missing. As we hold on now, that day will be a glorious reunion, that some who have gone before us, we will join with them.
Amen.
In that fellowship that has been missing, we will experience it once again.
Amen. And we'll
say, Lord, your name be glorified.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
As we close, I just want to share one song with us, which truly touched my heart. And let me see. Can you ask him to see my screen?
Yes.
Thank you. All right. I'd like to share this song. Just about 10 minutes and then we'll end.
It's just so nice to have our dear friend Taranda. You know what? Every time we've called her to come and help us, whether it's our Christmas show or Easter, whatever, you know what? She's always there and she's always willing. And that's so beautiful to see. And you know what? The gifting that God has given her is so special. And years ago, I wrote this song, He's Been Faithful. It was when my husband and I were going through something very, very difficult. Our daughter was away from the Lord. She was out of the house. We didn't know where she was. This went on for months and months. And you know what? Every Sunday, he and I came to church. We didn't want the people to know. We didn't want to put our burdens on them. And we just together just looked to God in faith. And while she was out there, she became pregnant, gave birth to my oldest granddaughter, who is my pride and joy. I love all my grandchildren, but the oldest one, oh, she's my heart. And it was a very difficult time, but what's so beautiful about it, and at that time I came down with cancer. Do you believe this? And I was in the hospital and I was on my bed and I was just having a pity party like you couldn't believe. I was feeling so sorry for myself. And I questioned God. I said, God, why? Why all of this? We follow after your calling. We're here. We're here in New York. We're here in the inner city because you called us here. This is our heart. These are our people, and we want to serve you. Why are you allowing this to happen? And can I tell you something? The Lord just began to minister to me his love and his comfort. And right there in the bed that day, that song came to me. Because exactly what's in that song was what was going on in my heart and mind while I was going through that crisis. But the Lord ministered to me in such a special way and gave me that song. And through that song, so many people have been ministered to through the years. And I was so thankful when Taranda said, you know, Carol, I really want to record it, because Taranda has been through a lot too, like so many of us. We all go through stuff. We all do. Every one of us has a story to tell. Every single one of us. But she lost her first husband. He had kidney failure. She actually gave him one of her kidneys. Went through all of that, and it wasn't long after that he passed away. So she went through all of that, but she still continued to come and she still continued to minister. But we knew in her heart and in her mind, she was going through a whole lot. Well, we praise the Lord today that the Lord has blessed her and he's been faithful. He gave her a wonderful husband. And she's still singing for the Lord, and she's still blessing thousands upon thousands of people with the gift that God has given her. We thank the Lord for her today, and we can all say, all of us that know Jesus, he's been faithful. Oh, I just want to say this. That girl that was away from us, and she was out there lost. Can I tell you today? She's serving the Lord with her husband. And they pastor a church in Chicago, Illinois. And they have three beautiful children. And she's on her way tomorrow to Malaysia to minister with her husband. So God's been faithful. I praise the Lord for his faithfulness. Amen. Can you praise him for his faithfulness today? Praise the Lord.
Would you like to learn to play worship piano? Well, I'm a former Nashville pro, and I've developed a system that's...
Thank you. I'm sitting on a green stage where they can put anything they want behind me later. So maybe you got.
Sister Kemi is muted.
The hymn for today. Can you hear me now?
Yes.